Tuesday, November 12, 2019. It is 9 a.m. Please join me in the pledge of allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Mayor Holland, here. Vice Mayor Kupis.
Present.
Councilmember Brancino.
Here.
Councilmember Cupp.
Here.
Councilmember Hatt.
Here.
We'll now open up to public participation. So it's time for the public to provide input to the City Council. It's agenda item number D. You have up to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin. You can either choose to do this at the beginning or the end of our workshop.
Thank you. My name is William Latono. I live at 61 Woodbury Drive here in Palm Coast. I've been coming in front of the council for about 8 years now, trying to do something about the heavy traffic we have on Woodbury. It's a cut-through, mainly from the R section. 200-plus vehicles come through that area every day, and even more when the snowbirds come to flock. I've seen mailboxes hit. I've seen school children almost hit. It's ridiculous. They throw trash out of the automobiles. They don't care. They drive on the swales, and it's just become, I mean, at least four families have moved recently because just the traffic is so heavy. And hopefully they're staying in Palm Coast. I don't know for a fact. About a year and a half ago, previous city manager was talking to me about taking out the cut-throughs on Whiteview. And I don't know what the status of that is, but I had mentioned that you have to take out at least two of them, because believe it or not, they'll come out of the R's, they'll come the wrong way up the street and go down Woodbury instead of going down Whiteview. What I have here with all the yakking I can stop, I've said enough about all that, is a plan, a viable, I think a very good plan, and that's to make Woodbury Drive a dead end, ending at Whiteview. I put up double gates with a lock in case somebody has to get through. But everybody can do what they need and still access the area and get out. I have papers. That all right to pass these out? Okay. I'll walk fast, or I'll get my 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
You can keep talking. Using up this
time. Thank you.
Yeah, your 3 minutes are going to be up, so you can keep talking. So.
Yes. Yeah, I don't have a lot more to say. Okay. I mean, I can, you know, point on some of these items here, but it's pretty self-explanatory.
I need one for the record.
Can I take the rest just in case?
Yes.
Thank you. I've watched the area very closely, and one of the things that happens, especially with trash flow, Sunday was a good one. Somebody went by my house and just flung a newspaper right out the window. A lot of it happens around me, because I'm the one that goes out. They also happen for speeding, but I've seen some city workers about a year and a half ago pin themselves up against a truck. They were there trying to do some work, and it's ridiculous. The area is ridiculous, and it's just, you can't walk your dog, you can't do anything. So, if I might, I'll go ahead and shut up, which is very difficult for me. And by the way, I got a hold of one yesterday at the golf course.
Mayor, as Chief Development Officer of Mr. Jason DiLorenzo, although Mr. Morton states by adding a developer-friendly member of the local building community is not a sign that the city plans to ease or revamp standards anytime soon. Does that mean not soon, but later on? I question this because since my meeting, both he and DiLorenzo, and both have been briefed about the major lack of assurance that a contractor writes on the application of the permit has no effect, which I am aware of, have been in discussion here among the council members. When he said that with Mr. DiLorenzo on board does not mean that we're changing our codes or lessening our restrictions. All we are going to do is to be consistent in their execution and just do a better job in the customer service communication end. He added that we need to be community partners. We need to be stewards of our quality of life, but not monitoring the permit application so as to allow contractors to falsify information, thereby harming the citizen, is not consistent with what our city manager envisions. He said that he values citizen input and engagement because residents are our best tactical strategists. They have passion and knowledge, and he likes to hear their ideas for solution. Well, golly, I've given you solution ideas for several weeks now. So this is why I appear before you, so that I can offer my ideas for solution. But these ideas need to be investigated and not just tossed out into a heap or tossed into the circular file. You know what that's all about, known as the trash can. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Next speaker. See none, I'll close public comment. Matt, will you take this and
yes.
work with our team on this?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. And will you be in contact with the gentleman to follow up?
Yes, we'll catch up at the meeting. Love to get your information, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And thank you for your comments, Ms. Chester, as well. We'll now move to agenda item number E1 is a presentation, resolution approving TV backing the Seminole County contract with Chuck Robinson Concrete and Bob Pat for ditch conveyance improvements.
One mayor, one council. So good morning, I'm Carmelo from Stormwater Engineering Department. And this is a very quick presentation. It's for ditch conveyance improvements, as the slide says. This is gonna take place just east of the Iroquois Canal, or what they call the Two Sisters, the Three Weirs, and that's just on the other side of the I-95. The majority of the work proposed for this is going to be taking place in between I-95 and Old Kings. The original design as ITT, it's supposed to be a ditch with a 30-foot flat bottom, 4-to-1 or 3-to-1 side banks. And, you know, through the years, it has not been as properly maintained as can be, and sedimentation and a lot of overgrowth have taken place here. This is in my opinion, a good project to attack because it handles the downstream portion of the Iroquois Canal and the Ulysses Canal. Any positive improvement to this could have a good effect upstream all the way up through those basins. The project is about 2,700 feet between 95 and Old Kings Road. Again, it's going to remove overgrown vegetation and then built up sedimentation, about 5 weeks of construction time. And then there's a small portion out here in the green that's going on the east side of Old Kings, on what's called the Little Canal, and we're going to take that as far as the wetland can go.
Is this part of the overall stormwater master plan that we move forward with in January, adopting a more comprehensive approach? Is this part of a bigger picture?
It is and it isn't. It wasn't one of the projects they identified on that master plan, but through interaction with the consultant engineering that did that master plan, We did identify that there was a very good benefit. I also consulted them prior to making this project, and they gave us some insight where if we can build this back to original designs, it would produce a significant improvement.
Do you use LiDAR as part of the technology for the topography?
Yes.
Okay.
I spied that on the next slide. I was hoping that would That's an interesting thing. Thanks.
Right. So, yeah, so that's the, actually right from the RMP. This is, I actually had them, this is not part of their report that they gave us, but I consulted them and they gave us a little presentation as to some of the improvements that this can make. So they kind of went above and beyond what they really should have.
Where does it ultimately, flow into?
It eventually goes to Grand Fond.
It does?
Yeah, and then it'll head on down, like everything, down to the intercoastal, you know, so it'll go north off the Grand Fond.
This is something we definitely need.
Yeah, well, I think we do. I think part of the enhancement program for stormwater, in my opinion, is attacking downstream. Well, work upstream is kind of like a temporary fix, but the major improvements to see the big benefits is attacking the downstream portion of the stormwater.
This is definitely not a temporary improvement.
No, this would be a long way, yeah. This would be a good improvement.
And we're piggybacking on someone else, which is that.
Right, so yeah, this is piggybacking of the Seminole County, right? The Chuck Robinson Concrete and Bob Pratt is what it is, and you know we've allowed ourselves a little bit of a contingency because their initial estimate was just for clearing vegetation and whatnot. And after some conversations with them, you know we're going to want to have some improvements, so we're going to be working with you hand in hand. Some portions are going to have to get wider. You're going to have to probably get rid of some of that sedimentation. So,
which neighborhoods in our city will this be a benefit for the ultimate, you know, swales flowing into, cleaning this out, allow for better flow?
So this will benefit the Iroquois Basin and Ulysses Basin. That doesn't answer your question. I think a good portion of the U section flows into here. Some of the K section flows into here. Probably portions of the S section flow into here. It's mostly the southern portion of and not too far south, but then we have another exit to this one.
Okay.
Yeah, so and just lastly, you know, we have a budget item for major canal crossings. We've allotted for some of this work, and so it's all already budgeted for, it's not additional.
And it comes out of the stormwater fund?
Yes. You guys have any questions?
Questions or comments?
No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Agenda item number EF are written items. Agenda item number F2 is a resolution approving a budget amendment for fiscal year 2018 to 2019 relating to the Disaster Reserve Fund.
Good morning, Council. As you recall, Dorian visited us as we were finished with the budget amendment, so we weren't able to capture those expenditures. So what you have before you is the amendment to recognize those expenditures in our Disaster Reserve Fund. The bulk of it is split between sand and sandbags and pumping, and also food and miscellaneous supplies.
So how has this experience been with FEMA?
It wasn't until recently, maybe a couple weeks ago, that they finally determined that these were going to be reimbursable. So we have submitted for as a sub-recipient of the grant. I think that closes on November 20th, and then we'll start the process of submitting the actual, you know, invoices and all the labor and all the equipment.
So I know that Congressman Waltz, when he was here, he had some concerns about the continual delay of FEMA with the federal agency blaming state agency and then the state agency blaming federal agency because the money, even with Matthew and Irma, was housed in the Department of Emergency Management in Tallahassee, and there just seemed to be a very big disconnect. So I have offered for Palm Coast to be a case study to help other communities in the process itself and to better enhance the process and expedite it moving forward when we have these storm events. So I just wanted to let you know if you receive a call from Congressman Maltz or Representative Renner or Senator Hudson, they really do want to know what the process is entails, how much communication. I've been told by other mayors throughout the state that the problem has been we've had five different FEMA representatives at times, and then you have to start the process completely over with each representative, so there's no continuity. And on top of it, it's rather cumbersome. I think the FEMA document itself, the reimbursable, is like an 800-page document that we have to follow. So if there's a way that we could be helpful in the process, so if indeed we do have another major event in our city, I think it's the timing would be appropriate to do it now and offer some solutions to make it easier for communities to go through. Because we spend resources going through these dollars and then the delays, and then we have to hold off other projects when our funds are depleted, waiting for that reimbursement. So, and we could be collecting interest in our accounts as the money is sitting there. So just wanted an update about FEMA. So if you can just be thinking that way as you move forward and different ideas that might be a little bit easier for them to adopt, I think would be helpful.
That'd be great.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions or discussion? Thank you. Agenda item number 3 is a resolution approving the continuation of stop-loss insurance coverage with Sun Life and health plan administration services with Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Good morning, Mayor and Council.
Good morning.
So we're at the point where our stop-loss contract is up, so we're looking to renew it with Sun Life like we have in the past. They are doing a 6.8% increase. We did use our broker to go out to bid from, and we've got three bids from Companion, Sun Life, and Zurich, and although it wasn't the best, it was very minimal difference in increase. So we're looking to move forward with them. Also, Blue Cross Blue Shield is on there for administrative fees. We're in a 2-year rate lock, which doesn't expire until next year. So that was a $2 deduction per person, per employee. So. Any questions?
What was that price again per employee?
$2 reduction. Okay. So it was $57.20,
and
it's
okay.
Down
to $55.20. It all adds up in the employee's pocket, hopefully.
Sure does. Yes, thank you very much. Agenda item number 4 is a resolution approving a master services agreement with Lead My App Corporation.
So this is a resolution to let us contract with a management firm to do the Tech Hackathon in January, which has already been budgeted for under the SR Community Development Fund. And so this organization would help us and manage the whole event from beginning to end and actually help us get some metrics on it and help us market it on a national level.
Okay.
Do you think they're going to be able to put all the effort they need to into it, because I saw they needed like 6 to 8 weeks. They're going to have to really crush it during the holiday period.
Yes.
Okay, stay on top of them.
I've been talking to them twice a week.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Resolution, agenda number 5 is a resolution approving fleet maintenance and repair service purchases from Palm Coast Ford and the Rapid Cases.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Council.
Good morning, Mayor.
So this agenda item is to approve the spend amount up to a cap of $45,000 for the fiscal year with Palm Coast Ford for any required maintenance on our Ford fleet. As you know, most of our white fleet for the city is comprised of Ford vehicles, so this would be certified Ford mechanics, you know, operating maintenance operations for our warranty, as well as any longer repair items that we wouldn't do in-house.
I know Vice Mayor Clufus has brought up on one of the calls I was listening in on about fuel-efficient vehicles and moving forward, and what is the plan for that?
So we went back last week and started looking at what was available to piggyback on some of the other sheriff's contracts and those kind of things. So we're thinking this next fiscal year we could incorporate a couple of alternate fuel or electric vehicles into the fleet for some of the appropriate vehicles to swap out. As kind of a test phase, that would also allow us to kind of look at what kind of infrastructure improvements we'd have to do as far as charging stations or fueling stations to go along with those, and then what that would mean to the repair operations as well.
I know the property appraiser's office was using, I think, a couple of either hybrids or electric vehicles for a while. I don't know what their experience was. I don't get the impression it was hugely successful because most of their vehicles still seem to be professional. Might be worth talking to them and see what their experience showed.
They had a Chevy Bolt, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and
I think those were available on the sheriff's contract.
I just need to speak with the different departments and see what type of vehicles that we can switch out.
That versus a pickup truck.
Yeah, I mean, after the story about the sheriff's vehicle in California running out of electricity during the police pursuit.
I'm not sure the sheriff's department's going to be all right.
That's what I was thinking.
I will.
You can't jumpstart.
Well, I will note, though, what happened in that situation. So that car has saved the police department $7,000 a year annually. But what happened, they didn't plug it in the night before. So if you take the car out with no gas, you're going to run into the same thing.
Yeah, well.
So it's just the different types of advice.
And I'm not sure our inspectors are going to be going on high speed.
Do they still, on the hybrid, you know, at one point they were using natural gas. Have they fallen off of that now and just gone electric? Yeah.
So those are still available, and I think you've looked in the past at some of those.
Correct.
The problem with CNG, at least in our facility, everything's going to be set up. If you leave a vehicle inside overnight, it'll have all kinds of explosion-proof switches and lights and all that kind of stuff. So to set up a shop with a CNG vehicle would be a little bit costly.
I just, you know, it's important that we're staying ahead of, these modernization of different applications that we could take advantage of. So doing it each budget year and making sure that we have a plan moving forward, I think would benefit the city greatly.
Well, you got it like everything else. And as I explained to my kids when flying, how many you did in your car? Turn the ignition on and go. Mm-hmm. You look at the gas gauge, if you even look at the gas mm-hmm. gauge. And then, of course, when you run out of gas, you pull to the side of the road, you call somebody to come and get you. Up there, you become the road. You know? Mm-hmm. And that's why you got to pay attention to detail. And that would be a new thing that forces the employee that is driving these things to pay attention to detail.
I like to play the game where even though it says 0 miles, I can go, how was there better game?
That's called being a guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't encourage that. It's really bad on your fuel pump.
Airplanes are going to be battery operated soon.
Yes.
NASA's already working on that. So if we cannot handle cars, attention to detail.
Well, you see, and here's the other thing about airplanes.
Oh,
when you look at a lot of these accidents, when they run out of gas, there's no excuse for that. None whatsoever. Except that they probably have what we call get-home-itis. Mm-hmm. And they let the desire to get back to wherever, and they don't check everything. But, you know, but a few years ago, there was a guy, two older pilots, older than I, were in a aircraft that took off from Daytona Beach. They got to the end of the runway and crashed. Was out of gas. You know, we have checklists to prevent that. But if you try to cheat the checklist, you're going to cheat on your life.
In fairness, that's a really long runway.
That's right. And they used it all.
Yeah.
thank you.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt the subject.
I'm still on the hack. I like the cop car running out of me.
Right.
That's a classic.
Resolution approving a master agreement with Alpha General Services Incorporated for emergency replacement of pumps. My favorite topic.
Yes.
This is the final contract that we recently rebid out. I've been up here a few times in the last month for emergency contracts, tank trucking, PEP tanks, people to install the PEP tanks. This is all emergency services after storm events. They had to be rebid with verbiage to allow FEMA reimbursement. So that's why we had to do all this. This is the final one for the pumps.
Definition of insanity, dealing with FEMA. So moving forward, I know that Palm Coast has PEP tank areas still to be developed. Are the PEP tanks actually in the ground, or is it when the house is built?
The PEP tanks come into play after the house is under construction, usually after the drying stage.
Okay.
We try to put the PEP tanks in at the time frame where you don't have to have concerns with construction vehicles running over them, crushing them. So it's kind of a narrow window to try to get the PEP tanks in and without the threat of getting damaged, and then also getting them in time for the builder to not delay the builder. So
I was wondering if the homeowner has the option, are they educated on, what is a PEP tank or what happens when there's power for an extended period of time? And do we have a device that allows them to have a generator?
We have a receptacle on the side of the panel.
Okay.
Not all the panels have them. Some of the older ones don't have them yet. We're trying to change them out as we go. As we come across one to do a PEP maintenance or something that has the older panel without a receptacle, then we change it out. So they do have the ability to do that with their own generator. And we're also looking into other options to try to help that situation.
Speaking of homeowner generators, is the panel that controls the PEP tank typically included in a whole house generator if the homeowner elects to install one?
Yes, you have to have the panel for the PEP tank. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We are rewiring so you can plug in an auxiliary
generator.
Power outage.
Right.
But if somebody has to spend $5,000 to put in a whole house generator.
Yeah, it's basically, it's tied to the 20 amp breaker in the house. So it'll run. If you have that size generator, you're going to run everything.
And a lot more people seem to be installing those these days than used to.
Yeah, so I think it'd be interesting if you can get those numbers on how many existing have those generator applications attached, how many of the older ones do not, so we can get a better sense when we're speaking with Tallahassee to try to work with that P&L to get power restored in those areas.
Currently, we have about 14,000 tanks in the ground. At the end of build-out for all of our PEP areas, we'll have close to 27,000 tanks. So there's probably quite a few that don't have the receptacles.
It's like 60,000 of our residents at the end of the day, on average, that we're talking about impacted by this. So, okay.
Three quarters of our residents. And these pumps, they cost about $149,000. How many do we expect?
$149,000.
How many are we expecting to buy? Within the next
year. Hopefully for this situation, not very many, because this contract is strictly for pumps that burn up during hurricanes and things like that. So typically for replacement pumps for the year, we budget for probably 400, just typical PEP replacements that burn out. But that's not for this contract. That's for normal wear and tear on everyday tanks.
Actually, what are we paying for a pump during normal routine?
Same price.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I was going to say. That's what I was hoping was the answer.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Agenda item number 7 is a resolution approving piggybacking City of Tucson Omnia Partners contract Grenier to purchase maintenance, repair, and operational supplies.
Good morning. Yeah, this is for the normal maintenance equipment that's used on different projects, probably the larger side of the motor, a small motor that's less than 5 horsepower. But there's a wide range of different types of maintenance and operational items that we purchase from this contract.
Council, any questions on this particular agenda?
No, thank you.
I'm going to try to make a joke about Winslow, Arizona. I got nothing.
Okay. Agenda item number 8 is a resolution approving a work order with Connect Consultants for the rehabilitation of well SW83.
Yes, that's mine as well. That's what I'm putting. Well, wells needs to be rehabilitated. We have 64 wells, and this particular one has lost its specific capacity. So it's time now to go in and remove the equipment and do an acid classification on the well and clean it up a little bit. And that requires a contract with a consultant, a hydrogeologist consultants.
So this comes out of which fund?
This one comes out of the CCI, but this one comes out of the R&R fund for a utility.
Okay.
We have replacements.
Thank you. Agenda item number 9 is a resolution approving a work order DRMP for environmental and surveying services related to the East Section conservation easements.
Funding again. So this is... this goes hand in hand with an ongoing East Section drainage improvement plan that the ROP is also working on. Initially, we were trying the survey work, you know, it's a lot of site visits and meeting with the district. And so we thought that a local consultant might provide us a better price, and including it in the original East Section. But the survey work did not assume. We got some quotes, and the RP came out with a better number by a significant amount. So we ended up going with them to do these surveying and environmental related aspects for us.
Okay. Council, any questions or comments on this agenda?
This is something I've been pretty much all the way.
Yeah, a couple of meetings. This is the mud.
Much, much needed work to be done.
It is.
That's good for the work.
And by the work, by the way, by the we're meeting them later today, just to kind of recap where we're at. As far as the schedule goes, we're aiming to do the first submittal to the district toward the end of the month, beginning of December. So it's moving along.
Good. Very good. Thank you.
Sure.
Agenda item number 10 is resolution approving a contract with Power Mass 360 LLC for VOIP services.
Good morning, Council.
This is a contract with PowerMax 360. They are our voice over IP provider for customer service. It allows them to monitor and answer all the calls at any location, whether here at City Hall or somewhere else that internet provides them.
Interesting. Okay. Any questions or comments?
Got to be able to talk, Grant.
I yield to you.
Yes. I don't have any stuff. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Agenda item number G is public participation. For those that have not spoken, haven't spoken at the beginning of the meeting, this is open for anybody that has not spoken. You have up to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin.
Jules McCarthy, Palm Coast. I was about this pep tank and the panels. I think my panel needs to be changed. My house was built in 92, and I have the old panel, and I can't plug in. I have a generator and all, but I can't plug in if there's a shortage, and I've had several. The only good thing is it's about 50 foot away from my pep tank. from my house. So that saves me, but my neighbor next to me got flooded a couple of times. She's moving. She's selling the house. But I'm just saying, I just ran out to say, look, can you change the panel? You know, because the new ones have it where you can plug in electricity.
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Mom and Dad.
You know, close public comment. Matt, just make sure to follow up.
Making it out, absolutely.
Okay, agenda item number 8 is discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda.
Me?
Yes.
I would like to congratulate Lorraine Johnson for the job she did yesterday, preparing all of what she did yesterday. I was very proud of you and also very proud of our veterans.
Yes.
I spoke with some of them, and I tell you one thing, some of those guys, forgive the expression, some of those men and women have stories that you actually could be looking at them like, you actually did that? Yeah. So you have no notion. And I've been on the front line, in a different country, but I've been on the front line compared to what this guy's went through with Spinners. So I'm very proud of them, and also proud of you, too. I mean, keep up the good work.
Well, what he said. I think Eddie's comment. I was also going to comment that I thought that it was a great event yesterday. Several people I spoke to, some of the veterans, some of the staff, and some county folks, that the more of that we can do, the coordinate things like that for Veterans Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, so that we can come together, not just as the city, but as the county, as the other municipalities in the city, to celebrate things as important as Veterans Day. Having free food probably didn't hurt, but I was very happy to see the turnout, and I thought it was well managed, and I think it's something that should continue. And I believe that was your idea, Mayor, so thank you for that, but mostly for the staff and for the families and the veterans who turned out to make it such a great event.
That's great. Yep.
That's, I forgot to say, Lorraine, and your staff. I forgot that.
Thank you.
I am echoing what you guys are saying. I got to watch it from our building on Tucker's Falls, but I saw the tremendous turnout, and I saw the firefighters setting up, everything that everybody did is tremendous, but besides that, I have nothing for today.
Right. Okay.
I want to thank you, Mayor, for having the foresight to see that this event happened. As a veteran, it was well received by all veterans, and it was a refreshing change from the standard blah, 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 speeches, blah, blah, blah. This was something everybody could enjoy, and that's the key thing here. Memorial Day, that's a whole different solemn day, but you did it right. And of course, Lauren and her crew of folks out there, and Mike just stood around, but that's Mike, that's his job. But it was fantastic. I enjoyed it. And I'm sure the feedback I got from a lot of people, they were surprised that we would do this. Mm-hmm. So
they deserve it.
Carry on.
They deserve it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd just like to add, it really was quite a day. And to see all the veterans come out, again, thanks is never enough, frankly. You just, for the amount of sacrifices, but our staff is just incredible. Patrick Giuliano as well for making sure sort of the traditions were followed appropriately to give recognition, but with all due respect to the veterans that have served. So thank you for your service once again. And we look forward to it being bigger and better next year and continuing to improve.
Planted the seed.
Yes. Yeah.
But there is one thing I forgot to mention, and that's Freedom Fest this weekend.
Yeah.
Because we'll have a lot of warm birds out there.
Yeah.
And that'll be something to see. I think there's a B-25
or a B-17, one of the two are going to be on display.
And then I had just a quick comment. On Food Truck Tuesdays, I was talking to our vendor yesterday. Do we have like a no-compete clause that we actually are saying only one barbecue place can go?
I do not know that answer.
that's one of them. Yeah, I just thought competition is good, and why are we limiting options for our residents to come out and enjoy and spend more money for charities that go locally?
In the past, we've done a rotating Food Truck Tuesday, so they aren't competing. We, you know, with the industry being so small, we wanted to make sure that they were all getting as much as they could out of the event. So if one vendor came one month, then we would rotate the next month and have the next vendor. But we are looking to change Food Truck Tuesday. We have a new season that will start up in March, so I can take this feedback and do some research on what other municipalities run their events as well.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, again, you know,
We'll look into that. Part of the challenge I've seen with these is, to your point, if they're not making enough, they don't want to drive. That's a lot of money to drive out and set up. And so we'll definitely look into
it. Yeah. You just make sure we don't have Food Truck Tuesday. We can't get food trucks to show up and sell stuff.
So. Definitely look into it, absolutely.
But it's a lot.
Yeah, I just want to be part of the process. Yeah. So. Okay, discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Nothing.
Okay. Discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. I've got two items related, linked. I made a big deal last two council meetings ago, and also at the employee state of the city address, that our average resolution time for cases in Palm Coast Connect was 2.8 days, and again, covering the vast majority of cases. There's some tremendous amount of work that goes into that, from swale maintenance to removing trees to responding to code complaints. Pleased to report that number went down for the math nerds among us. It went from 2.8 days to an average resolution of 2.6 days, which is 7.692307% for the math people, which is almost 8%. That's big. That's a big efficiency increase in just 6 months. And that is without Field Service Lightning going live, which is going to be online to utilities in December. Field Service Lightning will start helping us automate and route those work orders in real time. So expect that number to get better, and already showing the success of this endeavor and how it's paying dividends back in efficiency and time, and more importantly, in response to citizen engagement.
And to that point, I had mentioned I had to go over to the utility department the other day, and how aggressively are we informing our residents to sign up and register for Palm Coast Connect? I would think that certainly our utility department is sort of our first line of communication with our residents, whether they be changing address or whether they're new to the area. I know we have the cards. I carry them with me everywhere. But, you know, the adoption rate is going to be really equally as important. And it's one thing to have a great solution. It's another thing entirely for our citizens to really be engaged with and utilizing it. I know we put it in newsletters. You know, I just keep thinking of ways and different ways we need to make sure it's in the hands of our residents. And Susanna Johnson has always offered, I know it's weird from your tax bill, but she's always offered to actually put it in Palm Coast residents' annual tax bill as just, you know, a quick Palm Coast Connect. It's a way of better citizen engagement tool. So
we're working on a few different tools in the setting up service. One of the things that we're about to implement in probably the next 30 days, maybe even less, is that our portal for our payment processing is going to link to Palm Coast Connect. So we're trying to get one login. So when we do that, I think when they first set up for paperless billing, we have a lot of incentives that they're going to sign up for Palm Coast Connect at the same time. So that should be up and running, I'm hoping, sooner than a month. We have the integration connection going within the next week or so, and then we're going to test it, and then we should be ready to go live with it. So we're excited about that. So we're really going to strive on making sure that as soon as they come in the door, we're setting them up for that Palm Coast Connect, because it's going to make it so much better for them. They, you know, they have the cities there for them, and their friend at City Hall is ready to put in the connect and get response times.
So At the State of the City, Matt, did you inquire if all of our employees are on Comcast Connect? Do you know?
Did not ask that question. How many personally had accounts? I did not ask that question.
I actually have been going around and trying to ask, and I have some success stories from them because they have been out in the field. Like, I talked to a gentleman the other day that was a field tech, and he's not part of Public Works, he's part of Utility, and he was submitting it, and he's like, it was response time, like, immediately. It was so awesome. So we're going to look at trying to do more internal promotions with, you know, training our staff and them be our ambassadors. For Palm Coast Connect, because I feel like if we get them on board, the rest will get on board. And they have been on board, so it's nice to see that.
Then we have, like, the Citizens Academy. Hopefully that's part of it, to have them register. Hopefully maybe lunch and learn. We can walk them through and do a demo of Palm Coast Connect. That would be a great way. But we really, you know, I'd ask everybody on this council to think of ways so we can get this out to the residents. It can't just be, you know, the annual newsletter or something like that. We really have to think creatively.
I was going to say as well, thank you, Mayor, City Council. As part of our annual advertising budget, which we've just refreshed for the upcoming or for the current fiscal year, Palm Coast Connect is part of all of those different ad buys for the first time. So that message is going out Palm Coast Observer on PalmCoastObserver.com, PlatteLive.com, on WNZF. So we are very aggressively pursuing, and I think our last refresh, we had an 83% increase for Palm Coast Connect signups.
Yeah. Susan Johnson? She's willing to do that without charging her because she's just going to put that card there, that little card.
She said she sends it out, and I mean, you know, again, you know, she's offered to do it in the past. We've just never really taken advantage of it. I mean, she's fantastic. She's a great partner. So, you know, to have the car is one thing, but to really also have that, you know, a little more information on it, just saying, you know, please sign up. It's a great way to have us engage. And also, again, this is a management tool internally for our organization to better attach resources to what our residents are, you know, calling us about. And it could be a swale problem throughout the entire street, but if we get the whole neighborhood on, and now we're getting a better sense of geofencing or geopointing to those problem areas in our city, we can really deploy resources very quickly and also track and manage it. So when we go through the budget process, now we have a better handle on, you know, are we appropriately, adequately staffing our code enforcement? Are we, you know, is our call volume? What is that response time? What do we think an appropriate response time should be? And that's sort of, you know, where I think getting that point across also to our residents is they're helping us make better decisions on behalf of them as well.
It comes down to the point, this is public service.
Yes.
It is public service.
Yep.
In one way or the other. And,
yeah.
And I don't know if that's any negativity coming from anybody. I'm pretty sure we're not going to be 110%, but at least we want to be 99.999 positively. So this is only good as anything that could be.
Interestingly enough, the comments that I get, and I look at them a lot, that are negative are not towards the system. They're like, hey, we did Palm Coast Connect. The response was quick. We appreciated the update. Unfortunately, you know, you couldn't come, you know, and the request is something we don't do, or it's not part of, you know. But for the platform, it's been very positive.
Absolutely. Point, yeah, the platform itself is public service. Yeah. Phenomenal. City, not Domino's Pizza. You know, some things take more than 30 minutes.
Warriors World's free.
Yeah, and thank you both, because I know you're really pushing it hard, and I'm very appreciative. I know the council is as well, but it's a really important tool. We have to get everyone engaged. So
just one more brief item. Hopefully it's an appropriate venue. It's personal. And when I interviewed here 7 months ago, my wife and I, my family, were excited to be here. And we had, on the first occasion, left Palm Coast this weekend for 3 days. And went out of state. Yes, and on our way back, this is a real story. We all said we're homesick, and when we came home Sunday night to Palm Coast, this weight came off of our shoulders, like we're back home. And so, to our community, our residents, I know we got a lot of challenges, a lot of stuff happens. You know, we're not perfect, the city's not perfect, but we have phenomenal residents. The quality of life is fantastic. I'm grateful to be here. And just a reminder, sometimes we get caught up, but just the appreciation that I have coming back home, that drives me to continue to work hard. I know our staff's working hard because we value that. So thanks to this council and community for what you've created, because it is something special, and I'm very privileged to be here. So personal note, thank you very much.
You weren't homesick from leaving my home in New Orleans?
That's not home.
And now you're going to have great neighbors.
I'm not going back. Now I'm going to have good neighbors.
If you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
If you give it up, if you had given me enough lead time, I could have got you really set with a New Orleans welcome. That you remember.
That's okay. So I'll say for the record, we went to the National, that has been made public, we went to the National World War II Museum. That was the purpose of the visit, which was amazing.
Move to adjourn.